Welcome to the Seven Figure Practice with Gerda Muller, clinical psychologist and leading private practice success business coach and mentor to allied health professionals.
On your windows?
I think we're live now. No, I'm fine. I've actually, I keep my Zoom smaller now so I can see what's going on. We're now live to Facebook. Welcome. Hello. All right. So I am going to, let's just very quickly share this to my, I might need a little light on, it's a bit dull. It's ridiculous. I've got these floor to ceiling windows right in front of my face and yet somehow or other I don't seem to have any light. Okay.
Okay, I'm sharing it on my page as well as
okay.
We're doing that.
And I will
TNT sessions. It's starting.
There we go. Copy. I think we're all good. Share.
Add button.
All right.
Not now. Just post, please. Okay, that's done. And I'll just do one more share into the private practice success group.
Okay, thank you for that. I will try and keep an eye on comments on my page. I have found that is a little bit tricky to do. So we'll see how we go. I think because what my computer likes to do is it decides which window I'm actually looking at and then it doesn't keep the comments live. There we go. Hi, Shireen. Welcome.
Oh, we've got somebody
one
with
us. Yes, we've got somebody with us. So there you go. All righty. Next step is to record. Are you ready for me to record? You're not
quiet. Go for it.
Meanwhile, the dog's knocking on the door. Hang on a sec. Miles, don't you realize we're doing like a live show? Well, maybe he's not. He's not there. It was a ghost. It was a ghost. All right, I shall get us live then and record it. Are you all ready to go, Gerda?
I am good to go.
You're good to go. All right.
Yes.
Record to the cloud. Okay, welcome to the GNT sessions where Gerda and I discuss all of the things that really piss us off about business, but of course also the things that we absolutely love about being business owners and business coaches and business mentors. We don't have a set topic for our discussion today, so we're actually going to see where we go. We've had some very interesting times here in Melbourne over the last while, lockdown 2.0, but specifically in the last 24 hours with many people absolutely devastated by the news that our lockdown will not only continue for another 2 weeks at least, but there's a slower recovery for many businesses, which would have been the case anyway. It's just that now they've seen it in writing. So people are very, very, people are struggling to get their heads around that. Meanwhile.
I must say, I'm not that up to date with what's been happening. So I'm happy for you to enlighten me. I did see your post that you did on your page, which I thought was really lovely and beautifully written. With some attachments of, I think, screenshots from a government website. Is that what you're referring to, those changes?
So, yeah, the screenshots. So that, I posted those last night. This morning I posted another some thoughts on the importance of flexibility. So one of the things, and I mean cognitive flexibility, and coupling that with innovation in business ownership. So the situation, I kind of could see this storm brewing and it was worrying me. It's been worrying me for weeks now with people holding on to the 13th of September was when our hard lockdown was meant to end. And people holding on to the 13th of September as if the date would magically change the situation
with regards to
the virus here in Melbourne. And what I was noticing was that nobody was really, or not nobody, I shouldn't say that, a lot of people were holding on to the date instead of asking themselves the question, what am I going to do if we can't come out of lockdown on the 13th of September? The numbers here in Melbourne definitely going down, definitely doing the right thing, but not fast enough. So we can't come out on the 13th. We're in stage four lockdown for another 2 weeks. And then there's a staged plan of what types of activities we can, what stage two is going to look like, what the next phase is going to look like, then the phase after that. Mm-hmm. Many businesses won't be able to open until at least November. So I think people feel very much slapped around the face with, we thought we'd be out of lockdown on the 13th of September. Now you're telling us November. And so the post I put up this morning was all about we need to be prepared for the worst. Nobody can control what this virus does. Even if you're in a state that it isn't, you know, having any difficulties right now, like, you know, Western Australia or the ACT, prepare your business for the worst. But ask yourself the question, what would I be doing differently if I was in lockdown, or if I knew I was going to go into lockdown, or if I knew that I couldn't come out of lockdown? Like thinking creatively around what are the things that I could do with my business. So there are a few really good examples of businesses here in Victoria that have done amazing things. I remember seeing an article about a woman who owns a nightclub, pivoted her business to making PPE. This is during, you know, when we couldn't get masks for love or money. Another one is, you
that's
know,
a pretty big shift.
That's a huge shift, right? Another one is, you know, a theatre set designers. So their business is called, I think, Stage Kings. Like their whole business is about theatre and the stage. And they pivoted to creating modular, easy self-assemble desks for working from home. You know, just really clever things that people might not have otherwise assumed that their business survive. And here they are doing something completely different. I see florists selling fruit and vegetables so that they're allowed to have their doors open. You know, clever things that people are doing. Meanwhile, the businesses that have been successfully pivoting and doing a great job of it, they're fatiguing. They're getting very, very tired. And, you know, and I understand the fatigue and I understand the stress. The stress eventually, you know, the protracted nature of the stress we're experiencing means that, you're going to be at risk of burnout. So I think we need to let go of that.
It takes so much resilience, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I'm not in the thick of things as you are, but when I listen to stories and I hear about businesses, people have responded with such a range of different responses, right? Yeah. Some people have just gone, no, it's too hard. I'm closing my doors. I'm shutting up shop, right? Yeah. And then everything in between to people doing amazing pivoting and even starting new businesses that's doing really well, right? And it's like everything in between. And I think a lot probably goes into how you make that decision from your personal circumstances, your personality, traits, your general coping mechanisms, all that type of stuff. But I think irrespective of where you are on that spectrum, when things just continue day after day, week after week, one month after month, it is bound to take a toll, right? Because even if you're a very resilient person, you're still human and you're going to get to that point where you're going to either have a bit of a breakdown, lose your shit, throw out all your, you know, your toys. Something's going to happen. It's about being okay with getting to that point and then, you know, having a plan for working through that, because it is tough. It is hard. You know, I might not be affected by it, but I'm affected in other ways. Like I'm here, regional Queensland. There hasn't been one case where I live, as far as I know, in our town of probably under less than 3,000 people. Doesn't mean it's not going to get here, right? I prep myself with the knowledge that it's probably going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's no use trying to, you know, live in a bubble. It might feel like we're in a bubble until this time, but it's going to happen. It's going to get here. It's going to get everywhere. And when it does, it's about being ready for when it happens. But even for us living regionally and rurally, we've got other impacts and consequences to deal with. Like my parents stuck overseas, right? Getting more and more depressed every day with, you know, just waiting. Their flights were cancelled a week before they were meant to fly out to Australia. Now they're just sitting there in a rented little apartment with nothing to do, They're basically in self-isolation and self-lockdown because they want to stay as healthy as possible so that when the Australian government finally opens up the borders, that they can board that flight and come back in, you know, and probably do isolation here, but so that they have like a clean bill of health. And it's like, it's again, it's the fact that it's taking so long. And I think that's what I think people are getting to a point of almost hopelessness.
Yeah.
Because I think having a date and having an end in sight helps you to have hope.
Yeah.
And then being disappointed with that and not having that, that's what makes it so hard by not having a clear end date. But that's the nature of the beast that we're dealing with,
That's the reality we've got. And I think, you know, that was the point of my message, you know, the post I put up this morning, is the we just can't expect dates to magically fix things for us. They're arbitrary and they're based on the best advice available at the time that they're set, but obviously things change between now and when those dates come to be or come to pass. I think that we have to sort of take the veil away and say, okay, this is the reality we've got, and it's not going to change until it changes. And we don't know when that's going to be. So I think that, you know, people are angry. People are angry with the government. People are angry with protesters. People are angry with the virus. People are angry with other countries. People are angry. And I think that that's a really slippery slope when you couple that with all the stress and tension and risk for depression and all of those other things. So I think now's the time to make decisions about channeling the anger and the frustration into action. Channeling the energy into saying, okay, this is what it is. What can I do within these current circumstances? Melbourne, yeah, we obviously we have our set of circumstances here, but it's affecting everyone in the country, you know. People who can't visit family members, people who can't attend funerals, people whose tourism businesses. I mean, there are so many variations on a theme. Everybody's affected in one way or another. Yeah, we all just have to say, okay, anywhere could have an outbreak. Anywhere could be in lockdown at any point in time until there's a vaccine. It just happens to be Melbourne at the moment. I think, you know, the Premier was saying, just as an example of how quickly things can change. And one little town in rural Victoria was virus-free, and then one person had it within a week. 24 people had it in just this tiny little rural community, and that's how quickly things can change. So, you know, none of us can. I think there's a lot of fear here about a third wave, and that's why the plan we've got in front of us now is as strict as it is, because there's a lot of fear about a third wave, because the businesses that are hanging on by the skin of their teeth. Reopening and all the cost that comes with reopening and then being slammed back into lockdown, that's going to be worse. So I think
it's tough, and all I can say is I'm just glad I'm not in a politician or in a government leadership position at this point in time. I actually feel sorry for them, because it must take such, I don't know, high level leadership skills to be able to do what needs to be done, and you know, be the subject of everybody's, you know, projecting their emotions and feelings, rightly or not rightly so. You know, each person's entitled to their own feelings, and I think what we are seeing, if I look at about the reactions, is very much a grief response, right? And people being on one part of that grief response or cycle or stage is the right word, I guess, you know, like the anger, some people being in denial, some people being in anger, some people being depressed, others being, you know, in a state of acceptance. Everybody is somewhere there, and it's very real and true emotions, but there's a lot of grief, you know, loss of your normal routine, loss of your normal structure, loss of your job, loss of your meaning, of your purpose, and, you know, loss of social connections, going to work, going to school. There's a lot of loss happening at the moment in the community. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of those emotions as well being directed towards the decision makers right now.
I agree with you. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Dan Andrews has the patience of a saint. You know, I would have lost my shit several times over by now. But, you know, I think, you know, showing up every day, I don't think he's had a single day off for 6 months. You know, showing up every day and providing the face, being the face and the voice. And, you know, you can't please everybody. You just can't. And but like you say, just as in grief, you know, when there's a traumatic loss, we look for someone to blame. You know, and I hope he's got good advice around him that helps him understand that, you know, that people need someone to blame. And if he's going to carry that can as well as all the other cans that he's carrying, he's doing it with good grace. I really do respect that. But yeah, people are distressed. You know, people, like I said, you know, people who can't attend funerals, people who can't attend the birth of grandchildren, people who can't, you know, do lots and lots of things. And the mixture of emotions, you know, the wildly swinging from one state to the next emotionally, that's exhausting too. You know, I
100%.
Yeah, you know, I saw I think it was my hairdresser had a post on Instagram after the announcement yesterday, and just saying, well, we're really sorry, we won't be opening when we thought we would be. So everyone who's got an appointment, we're going to contact you personally. And you know, I liked the fact that they had optimism that they were going to be opening next week. You know, they're dealing with it. And you know, I think that the businesses that stay visible online, the businesses that keep their communities informed, don't underestimate the loyalty. Don't underestimate, you know, that there are sectors of the community that will stay loyal for when you can reopen. Don't underestimate the power of that.
Agree, because it's part of keeping that relationship going, that connection. Yeah. And, you know, it's about just communicating. I think our clients know that we are also subject to, you know, the rules and the laws set by government. And it's not, you know, that we're trying to be difficult like a hairdresser. You know, they don't have a choice in the matter. They just need to postpone. And I think, you know, if there's clear communication and consistent communication, clients will take that well and might not like it, because nobody likes not having your hair done. We've all been through COVID hair.
Yeah, this is my COVID hair. I show everyone. That's my COVID hair. This fringe was up here.
Wow, it has grown. Can you believe it? Yes, because I've been seeing you with photos with your hair back. It's like, that's a different
test. The hair right back. I know,
Yes, it's because I'm so used to you having the fringe, right? It's like, no, you can actually like take it back completely now. Oh goodness.
Exactly.
It's a wait and see game, and that's a frustrating part of it, but it is what it is, and that's all it is, right? And
that's exactly right. Yeah, it is what it is until it's something else. And I think for a lot of people, you know, I've been talking to a couple of business owners this morning who you know, they've got stuff going on in their lives like we all do normally. And these aren't Victorian business owners, they're in other states, but, you know, they've got stuff going on in their lives, but there's still the undercurrent of COVID underneath all of it. And it's like it's colouring everything. Everyone I ask, you know, when did you last have a break? Like, when did you last actually give yourself some time off? And the answer usually is, oh, well, COVID killed my holiday. Yeah, okay, but maybe you need to take a break anyway and have a staycation. Like, everybody needs that rest. You know, Victoria and New South Wales, so many people didn't get a break over summer because of the bushfires, and then we rolled straight into COVID from there. So, you know, people need to remind themselves, like, consciously decide to have a break, give themselves some time to just recharge their batteries, but also time to think. So, okay, I'm caught in the hamster wheel like we always do. I'm caught in the hamster wheel of doing, because this is desperate times and need desperate measures. But you also do need to be a CEO. You do need to step back and think, okay, what's my strategy? This is a crisis for my business. Yes, everyone's going through it, but it is a crisis for your business, and you get to choose what you do next and how you innovate and what action you take. And again, you know, don't let dates dictate when you take action in your business. Take action now. Don't wait.
I agree. I think the trap is that when we're in situations like this where you feel out of control because you don't have a say in what's going on, you often find yourself getting stuck in the minutiae, in the admin, you know, stuff, because it's actually something that you have control of. It's something that you can do. You can go through your email inbox and reply to emails, right? But it then distracts us from making that time to really look at the situation as a whole and bring in that CEO mindset and say, okay, what does this all mean for the business, for my team, for my clients? What is this going to be mean or potentially look like in a month's time, 2 months' time, three months' time? And how do I ensure that we get through this? And it's so important, because otherwise you don't do that. And that's when you miss things. Then you miss opportunities to pivot and change, right? Yeah. And I will just say this, so take my hat off for people in Melbourne that's in lockdown, because I think it must be so hard running a business, because most of the people listening here will probably be business owners, running a business whilst having your kids at home. It's like, there's just no time out, right? I'm somebody that needs my own time. Like, I'm an introvert, you know, and then there's business and my boys that's at home. My daughter's not at home anymore. They're both extroverts. They talk nonstop, right? And just being able to have time to just think, it must be so hard for you guys. I don't know how people juggle that. I would go crazy. It's all I can say.
I'm lucky, and I consider myself lucky that my husband lost his job at the start of the coronavirus, because he's been doing all of the homeschooling, which has actually been really beautiful to watch. And we've talked about this, he and I, you know, to watch what that has done. We've always been a really close family. My husband's a cancer survivor, as you know, so we've always been really, really close. But to watch just the richness of the relationships between my husband and my sons, really sort of watching that evolve during this period of time, has been amazing, because he hasn't had the pressure and the stress of work competing with his time. And he's really enjoying it, and so are the boys. But it still took me, I reckon it took me weeks, if not at least a month, to feel okay with coming in here. I'm in my bedroom. Coming in here and shutting the door, I felt so guilty for shutting the door on my family for a whole day. Like today, I'm doing back to back all day long, and the door will stay shut until I'm done. And it took me, you know, about a month to realize, well, they know where I am. I'm just here, and no one will die as a result of me having the door closed.
Yeah.
It's perfectly capable of keeping the three of them alive while I'm in here. So, you know, I think it is each, you know, each of us has to, you know, that's why I say I'm lucky. I'm very, very lucky. And I know that I have good support and I can shut the door. I feel for the parents that have very small children, because, you know, I know what that's like, and you get very little, if anything, done at all. And parents who are doing it on their own, you know, it is really, really hard. And of course, there's a lot of people that can't run their businesses from home, you know, in sectors where it's just not feasible to be at home. And so they're either, if they're not a permitted worker, then they have to be at home and not working when their businesses are closed. Holding their breath, basically.
You know, I totally agree. And, you know, if I think of my own businesses, you know, with the practices and a lot of the people in my Facebook groups and my PPS community that are practice owners, I think we are very fortunate that we are in a position to work from home through telehealth, right? But I was actually thinking this morning, I went to drop my boys off at school, went to the news agency to pick up some books and stuff. And driving here, was thinking, you know, yes, we are really lucky with this, but it is still a very clear reminder that you need to be prepared as a business owner for any type of challenge.
Because
the next challenge might not be that kind to my business, might be more kinder and easier on other businesses. This one, just because of the nature of this crisis, my business can still survive through it and actually do well, right? Because it's just a change of mode and where we do what we do, we can still do our thing. But the next one might not be like this. Mm. And it's just for me a reminder as well that we need to ensure that we prep our businesses for times like these, because we've been through the global financial crisis, my practice, right? And thinking back in terms of, you know, needing emergency cash funds and, you know, all of that stuff. And I've been really using it as an opportunity, this to, yes, acknowledge, you know, that, you know, I'm grateful for the, I mean, it still affected our business because we still had to, like, you know, change how we do things, change policy, systems, processes, and it's so much thinking and time that's gone into it. But at the end of the day, it's not nearly as difficult as it was for others, right? We could still continue to pay our people and nobody, you know, had to be fired or let go, anything like that. But we now need to be really clever going forward in terms of going that these things happen. Right. Yes, it might be only 2008, 2020, every 10 years or so, potentially. It could be more frequently, but you need to be ready for when it happens. And I'm already starting to think, how do I, once we're through all of this, ensure that we're ready for whatever the next challenge is that life throws at us, because it is going to come.
That's exactly right. You know, it's funny, you know, you're saying, thinking about our mental health services and other health related, you know, services, who are able to sustain our businesses through these times. And I was thinking back to, you know, that brief period of time when telehealth became available with a Medicare rebate, but there was that 2-week period, I think it was, where we were required to bulk bill those Medicare items. And for those not in the healthcare sector, I think I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, because that was my I guess my thinking around an equivalent disaster scenario for our profession would be a requirement to bulk bill, because I was thinking it would be like a retailer, the equivalent would be a retailer being expected or being compelled by government to sell all of their products at cost.
Yes,
but still cover all of the running costs of their business. So it's not doable. You can't buy something in at wholesale prices and be required to sell it out again at wholesale prices and still cover all of the costs of keeping your doors open. So, you know, that would be my equivalent. It would be if something came about where the government said, well, you just have to bulk bill everybody. That's the only way you're allowed to be open. You're not allowed to be open for private fee-paying clients. Then yes, many in our sectors would not, most in our sector would not be able to afford to continue being in business if that was the requirement.
I think that's a brilliant comparison. Not that I think that the government could say something like that.
I think I was trying to think of what would be an equivalent. What would be an equivalent for our business?
Yeah.
And what would be an equivalent comparison for what it would be like for another business? So I think, you know, yes, you're right. You know, any kind of, and you and I both have had, you know, disasters in smaller letters, not disaster at this scale, but disasters in our business. Any business owner that's been around long enough will have survived some kind of disaster scenario. You know, I've talked before about being awarded a massive contract that I was then contracted to provide the services, and having all but one of my team members disappear very quickly. It was like, okay, how do I deliver this service? How do I meet the commitment that I've made, the legal commitment that I've made, when I only have one person? You know.
That's stressful.
That was stressful. You know, I was waking up with chest pains, you know, but we managed to work our way through that and rebuild the team from the ground up. And, you know, business owners have any number of disaster stories that they can tell if they've been around long enough. So the difference now, of course, is so many businesses are going through their first disaster at the same time. Like, they're all going through it together. And so they don't have experience of how to navigate these kinds of choppy seas.
It's a learning process.
Very, very much.
Just so you know, I don't have my watch on today, so I've got no idea what time it is. I think my 13-year-old, after I explicitly said, no, you're not allowed to take my watch to school, he took my watch to school. I wouldn't be surprised if that's where my proper AirPods is. He's also, I'm dobbing him in now, right? He's also just broken my Apple Pencil, scratching. You know, he's got a cast, right? He was itching underneath his cast. So he used my Apple Pencil, of all things, as if we don't have rulers and other stuff in the house, to scratch underneath his cast, totally ruining the tip of the Apple Pencil, which now means I have to wait.
You get a replacement. I've got replacement now. Tips. Now, if I was just around the corner, I'd be able to pop in and give you one of my replacement tips. But this is the other scenario here in Victoria, right, that because of the limitations on how many people, even in essential services, how many people can be working, the workforce for Australia Post in Victoria is dramatically reduced. So everything is taking twice as long. I had paper, a letter, not even a parcel, a letter sent to me from Albert Park, which I can almost see from here. Like I could walk there if I really wanted to.
Yeah.
Take 2 weeks to get to me.
Wow.
Because I had to go by Sydney first to be sorted because there's not enough people to sort the post here. So it is 12:42 p.m. I have a client at 1 p.m. So I will be, we will be.
You'll keep us on time.
I'll keep us on time.
Now, let me just say, you just taught me something. I did not know that you can buy replacement tips. I ordered a complete brand new Apple Pencil.
With your name on it?
Yes. But I will now make sure I get myself some replacement tips for in case.
Because I have the tendency to drop my pencil that way and the tip gets smashed. Well, I say tendency. I've done it once, but I'm so fearful of doing it multiple times that I bought some replacement tips. And they're like insurance policies. Once you buy them, you'll never need them.
Of course, yes. There you go. Because and it's so annoying because once you've converted to using your iPad for notes and stuff, and then you can't write on it, it's like, it's like then everything's difficult. Everywhere. Yes, it's annoying because I do love my. Yeah, you use GoodNotes, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
So, have you ever tried Notability?
No.
Because I'm thinking about which one is better. Because I've been speaking to so many people that love Notability. Anyway, we'll see.
Okay.
I might check
it out. No, I've not used Notability. I know there are lots of different things out there, but I'm happy with GoodNotes. It works for me.
Me too.
Okay, so
should we check for comments maybe?
You should. I can't see any on my, actually maybe if I check on my phone. We'll see if there's any comments or questions. I love the way we both need our glasses now.
Yes.
We haven't even showed off our mugs. We haven't showed off our Gerda and Tess mugs.
Hang on, where is it? Here it is.
And I realised before when I had a sip of my coffee, because I've got ice in it, it looks like I'm probably drinking something alcoholic. Let me reassure you, it is well, black coffee.
It is the GNT, the gin and tonic show, right?
Well, no, it's the Gerda and Tess show, not the gin and tonic show. So we've got our Gerda and Tess, if I hold this up to the camera, you see the Gerda and Tess mugs. And because we are at opposite ends of the country, we don't get to see each other very often. So every now and then we just remind each other that we do like each other.
Yes.
But I have taken to drinking black coffee with ice. So it's an iced long black. And it seems to help when I'm talking a lot.
I've never in my whole life had cold coffee.
It can't be cold. Cold's horrible. It's going to be iced. It's going to be icy cold, like really icy cold. So I make an espresso, then I pour it over. So I fill my cup with ice, make the espresso, and pour it over the ice. And it's quite special.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm not sure whether I'll drink it, though.
I can't
drink an espresso martini. It's too strong. I've tried to go black with my coffee. Haven't succeeded. I might need to try again anyway. Okay, I don't see any comments in the Facebook group.
I don't have any comments either. I'll just double check. No comments. And do you know why that is?
Why?
It's because people are so busy at the moment. So people are busy doing their thing, and I understand that.
I must say, even if I look at my own behavior, I have been spending less time on social media, and I've only been spending like very dedicated time. Like when I go on, I have like a purpose for going on, you know, to check. Sometimes it is to relax, right? But I go to certain pages. I've been really curating my newsfeed, leaving some Facebook groups that I know I never interact with. So it has been an interesting time on social media. Actually,
yeah, and I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are, their behaviours have changed. I've got friends around, I've got a small group of friends who are based, there's two of us here in Australia, one in Canada, and one, two, three, four in the US. So there's seven of us in this little group. And we use Marco Polo, which is like a little video app, to communicate. And I realized the other day there were 44 video messages that I needed to catch up on. And I said to the group, I think what's happened is I'm not going anywhere. And I used to, instead of watching the videos, I would listen to them in my car when I was going here and there. And I'm not going anywhere, so I'm not listening to things either. So I think people's behaviors have really changed. I think there's a lot of change in the air, and that's added also to the stress elements. You know, people are really wrong-footed at the moment. You know, that things aren't the way they used to be. I wish I had a dollar for every person who has said to me recently, I never was interested in politics before, and now I find myself listening to politicians talking every day. You know, yesterday our Father's Day lunch was, you know, huddled around the television watching Dan Andrews talk about the plan out of lockdown. Very different times. Very different times, and the stress that people are feeling is understandable.
Yes, I think we will all be very grateful when we can say goodbye to 2020. Finally.
Do you know what? I agree, but my fear is that people will then have these high hopes for 2021. And it's like, we're at least 6 months into 2021 before there's any hope of a proper vaccine. So I think we just have to take it a day at a time. I paid the extra money to watch the premium release version of Mulan, the live action version of Mulan with the kids. We watched that the other night, and I said to my husband, you know, usually going to the cinema would cost a lot more than what I paid to see the premium access version of Mulan. But I said to the kids, when was the last time, and we're avid moviegoers, like that's our core entertainment, the cinema. And I said, when's the last time we got to see a new movie? And they're like, I know, right? It was like gold. It was like this precious little thing that we had in our hands, a new movie, a brand new movie. So, you know, life has changed, but, you know, not all of it bad. Obviously it's hard, but not all of it bad. We're spending, good time with family and friends online, and that's something that people haven't necessarily done before. So
one
day at a time is all we can do.
I know, and we're part of history. That's what I tell my kids. We're currently part of history. People are going to talk about this time, so it's really interesting.
You know, it is interesting, and people have said to me, you know, I bet you're regretting leaving Tasmania for Melbourne now, right? And I said, actually, no, as much as I miss my family and I miss the freedom of being able to go back to Tassie, and, you know, I can't be there for my team. And Tasmania is a beautiful place, and it has a special place in my heart. But I'm part of history. I would feel, certainly as a business coach, I would feel, I would hate to not be connected to this experience that all these are going through. You know, I think I'm learning, you know, all sorts of things that I'm capable of, let alone what all the other businesses in Melbourne are going through. And being part of the story is, you know, I don't wish to escape it. That sounds a little bit Pollyanna-ish, but I don't wish to escape it. I'm glad to be here supporting people. In fact, I'm talking to someone this afternoon who represents local business owners. He's reached out and wants to have a chat with me about business ownership and mental health. You know, if there's something I can do in my messaging on social media and elsewhere to lend support, then that's why I'm here. And I'm glad to be part of this historic moment with the Victorian business owners. But we'll be talking about it for years to come, will we not? Our grandchildren will be sick of hearing about it.
Yes, we'll talk about during 2020 when ABNZ was happening.
Yes, it's going to be good. I'm loving the 2020 memes. I think my favorite 2020 meme is the one that says, when are we allowed to start using 2020 as a swear word? You know, like, that's un-2020 believable.
Yes.
I agree.
It's awesome.
All right, I'm going to wrap up the podcast episode now and thank all of our lovely listeners for joining us, and we will talk to you again. We aim for a fortnightly thing, but we also love to keep you on your toes, so we will talk to you when we're talking to you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
And that's the end of the recording. We're still on Facebook. Now, we didn't have any questions, so we don't really have any questions to answer on Facebook.
No.
So I might end the live stream. And here endeth the live stream.
Bye.